I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. For most people, it would have been enough to find your way from a big family in a tiny Louisiana town to leading a respected cardiology practice of seven doctors located outside the nation's capital. But not Cleve Francis. All his life, he has nursed another dream, along with medicine, to be a country music star. And he did it. He's had four songs on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart. He was one of the first African-American country music artists signed to a major record deal after Charlie Pride broke through in 1965. His latest album is Storytime, live at the Birchmere. And he is in the house today, along with his big band, to tell us more about his journey from Louisiana to medical school to the Grand Ole Opry and back. Please welcome Cleve Francis and friends. So, cardiologist, country music star. When you were growing up, what did you want to be?
I probably just wanted to get out of Louisiana. But we were very poor, and my mother insisted on an educational track and had my guitar, and I would take it from there.
Tell me about that first guitar.
Well, I was about 9 or 10 years old, and there were older people on my street who played guitar and harmonica, banjo, and I wanted one. And my mother saved quarters, actually, for over a year till she got a down payment, and she also got it on time at Sears and Roebuck. And it was a big blue and white guitar. So it's a tiny thing now.
I'm sorry, I just had to ask, do you all even know what getting something on time means? That we have
right.
an age range
That's
in the
right.
studio today, and I'm not sure that they know what getting on time means. I think they think it means paying off your credit card that month. No, but no, it actually means saving up and layaway.
That's right, layaway and every, you know, but we finally got it, and the thing was taller than I was. I'll never forget the smell of the nice new wood and big blue and white guitar, and she made a promise that if I didn't do my schoolwork, she would put it in the attic. So I tried to honor that and keep my guitar. So that was a great thing for me. I started teaching myself to play the guitar. But I didn't think about professionally singing until actually I got to college, and it was just kind of an accident the way it happened.
How did it happen? I mean, a lot of people talk about chasing their dreams, but you actually did it, and you actually jumped into, as I understand it, you were playing gigs all through school, and it's kind of a hobby, fun hobby, but that, if you don't mind my telling you business, and you don't have a choice, really, dear, at the age of 44,
yes.
you actually left your practice and jumped into the business full-time. How did that happen?
Well, actually, the business found me. I liked to sing, and so I was playing music. I did a few tapes and a couple of 45 RPMs for myself and for my friends. And I happened to be on call at Mount Vernon Hospital one weekend, and a guy came in with a massive heart attack, and I treated him. His brother came from Florida, happened to be in the music business. And we got to talking as his brother improved, and he said, well, I'd like to hear some of the stuff. So I brought him some of the tapes. And I didn't know. He took this thing back to Miami, Florida, and a couple months later I got a call from a guy by the name of Jack Gale, president of Playback Records, and he said, you know, I'd really like to record you. So we worked it out, and then we were off to Nashville and did a little album called Last Call for Love, and the album led to a video where it got on CMT, and it got into the top 10 with Garth Brooks and Vince Gill and Jimmy Bowen, the president of Capitol Records, happened to be walking through his den one evening and saw my video, and he said, who is that? Get in touch with this guy. So I'm off to Nashville, and he signed me up at his kitchen table. So I think the music chased me down. I was still treating hearts.
Well, let's hear some of that. What you gonna play for us first? Let's hear something. You wanna play what?
We're gonna do a little song called I'll Stop Loving You. And incidentally, this song was written by Mike Reed, who was a linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals, who turned songwriter, moved to Nashville. So I got this song from him. I will lay me down in a healing ground when my life is through. Say amen, 'cause maybe then I'll stop loving you. I just can't see how that could be true. So I will lay me down in a healing ground when my life is through. Say amen, 'cause maybe then I'll stop loving you. Driven by memory, thinking some night that I might find this lost love, and the heartache keeps chipping steadily away at me, living in hell in the shell of the man I was. I've heard nothing lasts forever, gonna heal my wound, but from where I stand, I just can't see how that could be true. So I will lay me down in the healing ground when my life is through. Hey, say amen, 'cause maybe then I'll stop loving you. And I'll say amen, maybe then I'll stop loving you. Thank you.
That is I'll Stop Loving You from Storytime, live at the Birchmere with Cleve Francis and friends. And if you're just joining us, we're speaking with Dr. Cleve Francis, a cardiologist based in the Washington, D.C. area. And we're talking about his other life as a country music star. We said Cleve Francis and friends. Why don't you introduce us to some of your friends here today?
Well, left, Mr. Gary Green, harmonica, Jeff Holdridge on fiddle, Bruce Middle, lead guitar, acoustic guitar, John Giorgio. Background vocals, Dorsey Vanderhoff. Drums, Eric Northern. Bass, Brian Fox. And keyboard, Mr. Arthur Lisi.
Thank you all for coming. Yeah, I did point out that you're one of the first African Americans to make a name for yourself in country music after Charlie Pride. Mm-hmm. And he used to make these jokes, which I don't know how you felt about his permanent tan and that kind of thing. I mean, today it's kind of cringeworthy. You think, oh man, you know, why did you have to go there? But did you ever feel that sort of tension, a sense that you were not fully accepted or a skepticism about your being in country because of your identity?
Not really. I think I had more trouble being a doctor in country music because, you know, people get scared of doctors. I think we're carrying needles around to give them shots. I travel all across America and England, Scotland, and never did run into one racial incident that I would call a racial incident. I may have dropped into medicine, but, you know, but I tried to sell a package that's, I'm Cleve Francis, I'm a musician, and I'm a doctor. And that's sometimes hard to sell.
You got a 3-record deal on a major label. We were talking about that, but there, if this has been written about, and I hope it's not painful to talk about, but you never really broke through after the second album. And I just wonder why you think that is.
Well, I don't think they knew really what to do with me. I thought really in the 1990s that the country was ready, but obviously they weren't. Some of them were. But I was looking in 1992, and I was at the CMA Awards, and on television was the riots in L.A., and it was Rodney King. And there was a lot of things happening, and it was right out of O.J. Simpson. And I think the country was polarized because I would go to some of these radio stations. I'd walk in there, and you could feel the tension, although I tried to break it, but it was there. I mean, the country was polarized. I think they were not into a Barack Obama mood at that time. So I thought I would be satisfied just being a link in a chain of the Darius Rucker, some people coming back, because, you know, I had my shot at it. I'm doing fine.
You are doing fine. So let's play something else.
All right.
You still got your music? How about, let's say you just played something up for us. How about, I don't know, Make Us Cry?
All right.
What you got for us?
This next song, when I was in Tennessee, there was a lot of writings on bridges, and I found this little song called Two Names on an Overpass, so we'll sing that for you. Providence Road, crosses I-54, there on the outskirts of town. He made a testament to their love, the only way he knew how. Armed with a can of red aerosol paint, trusting his life to that rope round his waist, dangling above the westbound passing lane, he wrote Jimmy Lee Loves Beckett Brown. Two names on an overpass, death-defying feet of love. To this day, every time she drives past, she's taken back when she looks up. When it was just her and him, things were so simple then. All you needed to prove love would last. Two names on an overpass. Her and him, things were so simple then. All you needed to prove love would last. Two names on an overpass. Two names on an overpass.
On an overpass from Storytime Live at the Birchmere. I'm wondering how you remember the people whose backs are breaking from overtime and the mom who's got the two kids, you know, who just are sort of drowning in it. And I'm just thinking your life is so different. You've had two lives already, both that a lot of people can't even imagine. And I'm just wondering how you remember what that's like.
Well, you know, it's being a citizen of the world, being a human being. It's empathy. I use it a lot in my practice. You know, you have to feel empathetic, you know, toward people. But these stories are about everyday people. I mean, I'm sure as I was singing that, somebody was thinking, you know, having a tough time. And here on this bridge is the symbol that was written a long time ago and how he felt about her. And that's kind of what country music is about. They're about stories. And the new album, Storytime, is an illustration of that, and all these things are stirred. It's a self-contained little soap opera, so I like that.
You ever write songs that kind of draw on your medical knowledge, like eat less red meat, stop smoking?
No. I should start writing that.
There were some messages. I thought there were some coded messages in this one. I think my personal favorite, it was Never Been a Honky-Tonk, which is basically says, you're not going to feel better, so don't even bother. But kind of bad for business, though, since you do a lot of work in clubs. I don't know. You ever sing for your patients?
Some of them come to my concerts, but I don't sing in the you know, waiting room or nothing like that.
Could be an icebreaker.
But you know, I
hope not to be needing your services. But if I do,
but it's very interesting. I had a fellow who I must have run into him on the road somewhere when I was on tour. But he was on a motorbike traveling through. You know, to the area and had some chest pain and actually remembered that I was at Mount Vernon Hospital and drove his motorbike to the hospital. He was having a heart attack. And he said, I think Cleve Francis works here. I said, well, you know, he's not singing. I don't know. But people have accepted this of me because I don't pretend to be, you know, not what, you know, what I'm not.
All right. Well, as I said, if anything goes wrong, you're right there. You can help him out.
That's right.
And what shall we go out on?
We're going to go out with a little Steve Goodman, City of New Orleans.
City of New Orleans. Dr. Cleve Francis is a country music singer. In his other life, he's a cardiologist here in the Washington, D.C. area. He was kind enough to join us with his band right here at Studio 4A in our Washington, D.C. studios. Clay Francis, friends, thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you.
To hear more songs by the music doctor or the medical musician, whatever you want to call it, Clay Francis, and hundreds more studio sessions by musicians, please check out our music website. Just go to npr.org and click on music.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Eleanor Central, Monday morning red. 15 cars, 15 restless riders, reaching ducks, 25 sacks of mail. Good morning, America, how are you? Hey, don't you know me? I'm your native son. I'm a train you call the city of New Orleans. I'll be gone 500 miles in the days.